listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships with DJ Cabaret.
Hey, what's up, you guys? You are listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships with me, DJ Cabaret, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. If you have been listening to my show for the past few weeks, I'm sure you've pieced together that love is difficult. It gets messy and it gets complicated and chaotic, and we all face the struggles of it anytime you're in a relationship or if you're not. And I have been getting some input from you guys as listeners, and I love hearing your stories. So remember that you can text me at the phone number 415-570-2969 at any point during the show. And remember, you will remain completely anonymous if you choose so. So this week, I wanted to talk to you guys about some complicated relationships. And there are a lot of different kinds of complicated relationships. That could be anything from long distance to age gaps and being too young, according to some other people, and hookups. I mean, there's such a wide range of things. And I wanted to talk to you guys about some of those complicated relationships and what to do when you're in a complicated relationship. So let me start by saying that I think that the "it's complicated" relationship status on Facebook, I believe, started this idea of a complicated relationship as a real life status on what your relationship really means. I mean, yes, relationships can be complicated, but I don't think people ever before labeled their relationship as a complicated relationship until after Facebook did this. Originally, they explained what was going on, and it wasn't really reality for a lot of people to just label something as complicated. And quite recently, Facebook changed the wording of the relationship status from "it's complicated" to "in a complicated relationship." And this could raise some questions for a lot of people. What is the relationship? Who are they in a relationship with? What does it mean to be in a complicated relationship, and what does it entail? And I think this is totally crazy. I mean, I already listed a few things that could be considered a complicated relationship, but I would never, I mean, never put "in a complicated relationship" with someone that I was in a long distance relationship with, per se. So I think that if I did that, it would entail that there was something going wrong in the relationship, or we weren't getting along, or something along those lines. But I don't think that I could look you in the eye and tell you that a long distance relationship is not one of the most complicated, most difficult things that people do in their life for someone they love. I mentioned in some previous shows that I did a long distance relationship with my boyfriend all of last year when I moved to Santa Barbara for school. And that was very grueling and super hard to face for me. And I know that there are students here at Dominican University that are facing the same thing that I did last year. And I've personally spoken with some of them, and I think that it's honestly very brave heading into college knowing that that one person that means so much to you, I mean, they could mean the world to you, they're not going to go to this place with you. They're not going to go to college with you. And I think that there are some signs in a long-distance relationship that could lead to trouble down the road. But I also heed warning to people who think that the differences initially when you go away from the person you love could make or break you. And I think that it's very important to remember that both of you need to adjust. And my boyfriend reminded me of this time and time again when I was living in Santa Barbara. I think that you need to be able to fall into a rhythm and a way that both of you could almost be comfortable about being uncomfortable. Now, I was only about 5 hours away from my boyfriend by car, but I do have some friends that are dating people that are on the other side of the country. I've never been through that, but that has to be hard. There's a time difference, and just thinking about the distance itself is super difficult. And adjusting to a big change like this is hard. There are parts of missing someone that makes it seem like it would be almost impossible to be that far away from them. And it makes it harder to be in the location that you are and it makes it seem like you need to leave. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes the pain that you go through is more than it's worth, and the school or the location itself can feel so wrong. And you have to weigh up the differences and see if the person or the place is holding you back from what means most to you. There are some signs, which I will repeat, wait until you after you have adjusted to this new situation, that could mean trouble. And one of those is if it seems like it's only a one-sided relationship. If you're the only one who's texting, you're the only one who's calling the other person or trying to Skype them or trying to FaceTime them or whatever that may be, you're the only one writing letters, you're the only one driving to them. I think that these could mean trouble. It could also mean that you and your partner both reflect differently on what you need in the relationship at the current time. So don't freak out, okay? Promise that you won't freak out, especially initially, if this happens, if you are the only one doing it or whatever it might be. Don't freak out initially, please. Promise me you won't do that, because it might just mean that you need to express your needs to your partner, because honestly, most of the time, your partner might not even know that you need the affection and attention that you need, and that you just need to tell them that. And remember that everybody loves differently. Everybody has a different way of showing affection and showing love. So I think it's good to remember that, especially going into a long distance relationship. And something I know that I needed to hear when I was in my long distance relationship is that it was either going to make both of us stronger, meaning me and my boyfriend in our relationship, or it was going to hurt our relationship terribly. And when I heard this for the first time, I did not want to believe it. But when I was hearing it time and time again before I left, that was when I didn't want to believe it. But when I actually had left and I was gone, I needed to internalize that information. And when you get into a long distance relationship, especially if you spent every moment with that person before you left, it won't be the same when you leave. I know that it sucks to hear that, but think about it. How could it be the same? You've just removed yourself from the previous situation and everything's going to change. It could get stronger, which is what I wish for all of you listening that are in a long distance relationship. And you could, you know, you could learn to trust each other more and be more conscious of the other person's feelings. You could understand their boundaries a little more and be able to accommodate what they need in the relationship as best you can, because you're seeing it almost from an outside perspective for one of the first times. And remember what I was saying about adjusting. I think that you also need to let the other person adjust. And it sucks being the one that left. I know that from personal experience. But it also sucks being the person that was left in the relationship, per se. It hurts, and they need to adjust to you being gone. So make sure that you are available when you're needed, and you also aren't smothering the person. And I think that it could break the relationship if you do that and potentially ruin it in the long run. And I did that initially, and trust me, it was so not pretty. I think that what I did really hurt my relationship for a little while, and until I understood that I needed to treat my boyfriend with the same respect that he was giving me by giving me space, then, you know, it kind of helped that I was giving him that same respect. And I thank him for that all the time. I thank him for giving me the space to adjust, and he was letting me kind of figure out my way through something that was super difficult for me. So I think how he acted was the best thing that has ever happened for our relationship, especially going through that hard time. And even though I totally hated him for it initially, I got really, really mad he was doing it. I know that it was totally the best thing for our relationship. So, sweetie, if you're listening, thank you again. All right. So in regards to what I was saying about how people love differently, another issue that you'll probably run into, especially in the beginning of your time apart, is jealousy. And I don't always think that that's a trust issue. And I don't always think it's something negative in a relationship. I have mentioned that on some previous shows. So remember, wait until you're adjusted. I cannot stress that enough. Make sure you are adjusted to the new situation. And once you get adjusted to that, remember that it's, I know it sucks hearing it, but if you're anything like me, you won't want to adjust. You'll just want to be with the person you love. You won't want to adjust to something that you don't like. And trust me, I get that. And even though you are sad and you don't want to, there is a rhythm that you'll fall into. Know that the jealousy that the other person could be feeling is not just because they're worried you might cheat on them, which is what I initially thought. It also is, you know, it's that they could be jealous that you're just spending time with other people other than them. They are sad that you are gone. They are sad that you are hanging out with other people. And I know that I was getting jealous of my boyfriend hanging out with his friends, and they were just watching movies. And I was jealous because I couldn't be there. I wanted to be in the room talking with them and hanging out and watching the movie with them, but I couldn't because I was so far away. And so I think that, you know, just realizing that jealousy is not a bad thing. It's just them, you know, being sad that they can't be there. And actually, let me let you in on a little secret that I really want you guys to know about. And I think that there's a deception of long distance relationships always being really sad and really horrible. And I think that I might have figured out why that deception is what people usually think. I think that when you are in a long distance relationship, you really miss that person. Trust me, I know. And you want to talk on the phone and you want to Skype and you want to text all the time and you're waiting until the weekend so that you can come home. And yes, I did that too, but I realized somewhere along the line that it doesn't need to be sad. It is okay to make friends in the new place you're in, and it's okay to get involved in clubs and activities and anything that, you know, that would get your mind off of it. It's totally okay. You can dip your toes into new things and see if you like them. And if you don't, you don't have to worry about it. And if you do, you could have just picked up a new hobby or something that you can do with your time. And I know that when I was gone, I took up running, and I think that it was totally great. It got my mind in a different space instead of just thinking about how I really wanted to be with my boyfriend. And it was something that I could focus my attention on. And now, you know, for me, it was running. And for you, it might be writing or sports or getting a job or whatever it might be for you. But I urge you, if you're in a long distance relationship, to find something that you enjoy doing in your new place and do it. And it gives you something else to focus on and something, you know, something else for you to work on during the day instead of just being sad that you are so far apart. And it also gives you something else to talk about when you talk to your partner, and you can get excited about it and you can tell them how great your run was, or you can read them the piece that you just wrote, or whatever it might be. It just gives you something new and fresh to talk about and something you can be proud of. And as I mentioned, you are allowed to make new friends. And I know that it sucks when you're super attached to home and going home and you don't really want to make new friends and you want to be able to be with the friends from back home. But once you make new friends, it also feels kind of weird telling your friends from back home about it or telling your significant other about it. And I think that it is something that you are allowed to do. And the feeling of not really being able to tell your significant other about it, I think that kind of plays into the jealousy part of things. I think that if you get jealous that your significant other is still at home hanging out with your friends and they're still doing really fun things and you get jealous and you want to be there, then why would it not be the same for them when you're making new friends and hanging out with them? So remember that a relationship is a two-way street. And, you know, in addition to both of you adjusting to the newness of how the relationship is, be wary of how much you boast about your new friends and your new things that you're taking up, because you don't want to test waters that might hurt you later in the relationship. And I think that it definitely is good to share your life with your partner, but remember, it is complicated that you both are adjusting to how some things are. And I think that there are some things that you should talk about with your partner. And I hope that you've already talked about this with your boo, but if not, please make sure to do this. So here are some things that I think can really help make your relationship especially when you're in a long-term relationship. So these are just some tips from me that I think that will keep your relationship together when you're apart. So I think that both people need to be committed to commitment. And it is important that if you're going into the distance, knowing that you both are willing to, you both need to be willing to commit to staying together. And yes, there can be extenuating circumstances somewhere along the line that could change. But if either of you are going into the long distance relationship, thinking that this is freebie time without someone on your back, or you're relieved that your partner is leaving, or you're relieved that you're the one leaving, then I personally don't think that this is really something for you. Doing a long distance relationship is super difficult and it's hard to adjust to. So if you haven't already talked about this, I really highly suggest doing it as soon as you can, especially if both of you have not already explicitly said that to each other. So another thing that I think that really helps a long distance relationship is making the relationship be known. Now, this is a little different from my first tip, but I think that if you have pictures of the two of you on your wall or framed on your desk or as the background on your phone, I think that when people see that and they ask about it, they want to support you. They ask questions and it creates a support system, which makes it easier for you as one person in the relationship. Especially when you're adjusting, then you have a support system to fall back on that isn't just your significant other. And when you have people around that'll help you and hold your hand when it gets rough, I think that it's really great and it helps your relationship in the long run. It is also my belief that couples that succeed together put boundaries around time together so that they have time and space for intimacy together. Whether that be over the phone or texting or FaceTime or Skype, I think that putting away time for both of you to be able to be together without actually being together is really important. And if there's no way of not bringing work home, long-distance couples should set aside time for both people to do something separately so that neither of them feels like they're taking second place to work. Because when someone does work pretty extensively and you're in a long distance relationship, then it is hard for one person in the relationship to feel like they're not quite as important or as special to the person as work might be. And it could be something that you're not even intentionally doing. So make sure you watch out for that and put aside some time. So those are some of my thoughts on some long distance relationships and some of my experiences, which I think we can all agree is complicated now that we've looked more into depth on long distance relationships and how we can tackle the complication. So if you can tell me that a long distance relationship isn't complicated after hearing about all of that, then I need you here on the show to give me some advice and help our listeners out. So while you ponder that situation on long distance relationships or any other complicated relationship, let me know about it while we go on this brief break. You can text me at 415-570-2969. And remember, you are listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Challenge accepted.
This is Penguin Radio.
People like you always want back the love they gave away, and people like me wanna believe you when you say you've changed. The more I think about it now, the less I know. All I know is that you drove us off the road. Hey, all you had to do was stay. Had me in the palm of your hand. Then why'd you have to go and lock me out when I let you in? Hey, now you say you want it back. Now that it's just too late. Well, could have been easy.
Hey, what's up, you guys? You are listening to The Hookup and Everything Else About Relationships with me, DJ Cabaret, here in-house at Dominican University of California on radio.dominican.edu. So I left you before our short break pondering long-distance relationships and complicated relationships, and while we were all away for that brief time, trust me, I missed you guys. I was also pondering relationships and what would constitute them be as being complicated. And I think that all relationships in some sense are complicated. And I think that if you really break down any relationship in any form, it is complicated. And if yours is not, please let me know. I would love to hear about it. And if it is complicated, I still would love to hear about it. And we would want to share it here on Penguin Radio. So my direct number that you can text is 415-570-2969. So let me know what you're thinking. And remember, you will stay completely anonymous if you choose to. Alrighty. So something else that I would say that would classify you in a complicated relationship is when you are considered too young, according to some other people. And this brings up quite a lot of complicated relationships, from moving in together or getting, getting pregnant, or when you think that you might be pregnant and there's a complication with adding another one into the family. I think that there's a lot of hype that occurs around these issues. And I am of the mind that our generation grew up really, really, really fast. I think that it progressed from playing with pickup sticks to texting nude photos all too quickly. And somewhere in the lines, they were blurred. And I think that we should and should not do are kind of dependent on age. But those lines definitely are blurry to us now. And personally, I think that all parents can be hypocritical, just to say the least. But they also, I know they want to protect their kids and their ideals for family, and they want to help in any way that they can. Now I know that if I went to my parents today and I said, "Hey mom, hey dad, I'm pregnant," they would be nothing but supportive and helpful through the process, but internally they would want to scream and freak out, and I am pretty sure my mom would probably faint. Luckily for my parents' sake, I have never thrown a curveball like that at them too early on, I don't think. And I do know, however, that age is now something that people depend on for a lot of life decisions. As you all know, I've been asking you to call and text in, and a listener shared a story with me throughout the week that I think is really relevant to this topic. So she explained to me that she was in college a few years back, and she and her boyfriend got pregnant. And when she was around 5 months pregnant, her boyfriend was still out partying every weekend and on some weeknights. And he was drinking and doing drugs. And she was wondering how the both of them at a young age, the age that they were at, could transition into being, transition into mother and fatherhood together. And I think that this is a really difficult one. I have to say, and I'll say right now, that it is young to have a kid. And it is understandable that there are worries and slip-ups. And the situation can be super complicated, to say the least. I think that being honest in this situation, especially with each other, is the best policy. And where that takes you is the only place that you should be in. So if you're honest and something happens where the relationship just doesn't turn out well, then I think that that is where the relationship should be. Honesty is honestly the best policy, especially when you are about to start a family. So when getting into a situation where the two people are in a relationship and they start a family or add any being to the family together, whether that be a pet or a family member stays in the house or whatever it might be, you do have to have that honesty. And starting a relationship without that, especially when you're about to have a kid, that could just be toxic. It could ruin the relationship in the long run. And I think that it is best just to be honest and see what will be the best in the long run and talk it out, talk out the issues and complications that both of you are facing now. So I know it's difficult. I've never been in the situation personally, but good luck to you, listener that told me about this. I think that it's something that for anybody just to even think about it or consider it as something that someone around our age would have to deal with. I think that that's a big jump, having a kid, and that transition, thanks for asking about it. The transition is the hardest part from being 20 and having a kid. I think that, you know, being 20, most people still think of you can't even drink when you're 20, 21. And once you're 21, you know, you want to go out and go to the bars and be with your friends. And I'm not sure how old the both of you in this relationship were, but it's interesting because I think that it's hard to expect someone of that age to be able to mature so quickly into being a father or a mother. So good luck to you. I hope you figured it out. And if you want to text in, remember that phone number is 415-570-2969. I'd love to hear if you guys have any input or any advice that you want to give this listener, or if the listener is listening right now, if you want to respond to anything that I've said, I would love to hear it. All right. So another big issue that I think comes with age, I guess I would say, or people thinking that you are too young to do whatever you want to do, is moving in together. And I am of the mind that this is very dependent on culture and culture types and how you were raised, and what your family believes is right and wrong. And you tend to, I believe, want to rebel to what your parents say, but you also somewhere deep inside want to listen to them. There is a lot of times when, you know, your parents are right. They're doing stuff to protect you. They want to help you and be there for you when you need them. And, you know, I can easily look back on my life and say with confidence that I have absolutely fantastic parents and they always do what's best for me. And I know that with that being said, that they're also protecting me quite a lot. And I think that especially when someone turns 18, I think it's their time to make mistakes and make life choices that they need to learn from themselves. And yes, that can drastically change the outcomes of your life, which I think is what parents are protecting you from, something that could change your life forever that you don't want. But I think that everyone needs to learn somewhere along the line. And recently there have been some studies stating that from the time that you are 16 years old to when you're 25 years old, those are the best years of your life. Now, with this study, they didn't really state why, but I do think that it's because people of this age range don't leave any stones unturned. They try a lot of things, they do a lot of things, and when someone gets really wrapped into something and, you know, they're only focused on one thing or one aspect, I think that it's hard for people to understand that age may or may not play a part in that. I know that when you make mistakes, and the choices that you make, those shape who you are later. And if you continue to make those mistakes later into life, then that's on you. I think that that's part of the learning process, and that's what people need to go through. And there's always time to grow up and become an adult without all the mistakes and hassles that come with a progressing adult, I guess I should say. But back on the moving in together, I think that age plays a big part in that. I think that, you know, I've heard of some people in relationships that are dating someone that's significantly older, significantly younger than them. And that age piece is a big piece to this puzzle here. I think that it can get very complicated, especially with family ties and family beliefs, depending on what it may or may not be. And the age gap might change if you're allowed or not allowed or advised to live with someone. And another thing about the age piece is currently I am working on, you know, finding a place in where I am near Dominican University, and I'm looking at finding a place where I can spend time with my boyfriend and he can come over and he could, you know, spend the night a couple nights a week. And of course, I would love to live with my boyfriend. I think that, you know, we've been together for well over a year. Actually, it has been over a year and a half now. And I think that he and I have really, you know, we've seen the true colors of each other. And I think that it, you know, it's an age piece is saying that I, you know, I'm still young to move in with someone, but my personal, you know, view on the topic is that moving in with someone is also dependent on the relationship itself. So that's just my two cents on it. And so what I was thinking is that, you know, it is hard to be in a relationship. I mean, there are differences, usually pros and cons. When it gets complicated in a relationship, that usually means that the cons of the relationship outweigh the pros. Not always, but that is usually when you're in a complicated relationship, that's what happens. So something that that's always been interesting is, I guess, friend group issues or just friend issues in general. So what I believe this means is when you start dating someone or you begin hanging out with someone and their friends are not really of the same mind as you, or they're not, you know, who you would prefer to hang out with. They're not really your preference, I guess you would say. It's, you know, it's not who you would want to spend time with. I think that if this person that you really like hangs out with some guys that are not a good influence on them, in your opinion, it's a hard obstacle to overcome. I think that it can get really complicated. And I believe getting your partner to understand your stance on the situation is really important. However, you should never force them into something. And if this is their best friend that you don't really, you know, like or approve of, or you think it's a bad influence, or even if it's a family member that does similar things, I think that you and your significant other need to talk about that, and that you should not try to change them or make them change. You just need to express your feelings on that and, you know, show them what you believe. But you don't by any means want to change them. And I think something else along the same lines is lifestyles. So I think that there can be people who really think because someone's in a relationship or, you know, they just got into a relationship that they're going to change drastically. And I don't really find this to be very true very often. And I think that if you met someone, let's say at a rave or at a party or a dance, and you're both drinking or smoking weed and partying, and, you know, a few months down the road, you get into a relationship, and maybe you stopped, maybe you don't party anymore, you don't drink, but the other person didn't stop. I think that that is totally normal. That is who that person was. That's where you met them. That's what they were doing. And they're not changing for the relationship. And I think that that honestly is very brave. I think that being yourself and being in your own skin and being your own whole person in a relationship is important. And trying to change yourself and alter who you are for your significant other is a hard way to go into a relationship. So I think that that's who that person was, that's their lifestyle, and that's how they are, and you can't expect that they're going to change just because you did or because you want them to. This is also true with jobs. So my personal experience is my boyfriend works full-time, and I am a full-time student as well as I have a part-time job, and both of us are always busy, and we don't have that much free time to do things together. And when we do have free time, I think that it's hard for both of us to, you know, want to go out and do things. And, just because we're so tired, and it's hard to, you know, get past that jump of, you know, being tired and just wanting to go and relax. And I think that in some cases, when there are two people who are so busy, one partner in the relationship is expecting the other person to make more time for them somehow. And this also ties into the making time that I was talking about earlier when I was talking about long distances. I think that you need to put aside time for both people in the relationship to feel honored and feel like they are special in the relationship. And it is hard to deal with people who are always busy or always doing something that you don't really like. But these actions, if you knew that that's what it was going to be going into the relationship, then you should not by any means try and change what they do. It can get more complicated than it needs to be. And if you know that your significant other likes to drink or likes to party or they have a full-time job, then don't try to change that once you get into the relationship. It can bring down their self-confidence. And also it can bring down the confidence in the relationship, I believe. I know that if my boyfriend told me to, stop wearing my hair in a bun, for example, every time I would put my hair in a bun after he said that, I would, you know, feel like I was hurting our relationship somehow, or I was doing something wrong, and it would bring my self-confidence down tremendously when I would put my hair in a bun. And I also feel like I would be a little wary on our relationship or what was going to happen that day if I did something that he had already previously told me not to do. So I think it's just, you know, important to say that you, that in a relationship, you don't want to change someone. And it's important to remember that no matter how far along in the relationship you are. So I'm going to take a short break. And remember that you are listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
You're listening to Penguin Radio.
What's up, you guys? Thanks for hanging in there on that break. You are listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Cabaret, and right before we went on break, we were talking about long distance relationships, and we were talking about age gaps and all the complications that can come with a relationship. So remember that you guys can text me with any thoughts or testimonies that you have that I've been talking about here on the show. My number is 415-570-2969. So let me know what's up. So while we were listening to some music from the Mowglis, who, by the way, are my favorite band, I was thinking about what I would initially think if someone told me they were in a complicated relationship. And what I would think is, what I would generally describe a complicated relationship as is a gray area, I guess I would say, but that's just me. I did list a whole bunch of complicated relationships at the beginning of the show, but if someone came to me and said, I am in a complicated relationship, that is the first thing I would think of. I would think that a complicated relationship is where you're not really sure where you and the person you're relationship-y with. You're not really together, but you kind of are, and it's not really a relationship, but it's not really not a relationship either. It would be, you know, you'd be asking yourself, is this friends with benefits? Is this about to be a relationship? Are we just hooking up? So that's an age-old question. And I feel like there's definitely not one answer. But there is a way around this, I believe. And I think that the answer is that you would have to have the talk. And no, I don't mean the sex talk, and I don't mean the we need to talk. But I think that it's the sex talk is important, and we will address that in a later show. But this is more the talk of, you know, what you are in the relationship. And I think that for a lot of people, this is a talk that they try to avoid for some reason, and they think that they don't need to have it. And in my opinion, I think that this is one of the most important conversations that you have in a relationship. It really will just make or break your relationship in the long run. And I don't know how you could think that it's okay going on saying, well, I don't really know what we are, but I totally love him, and I think he's great, and he's awesome, and I can see myself being with him for a long time. But you can't even spit out the words to ask if you are together or if you're not. And I honestly wanted to walk you through this, and I wanted to explain how it would be best to approach this and how you should do it without seeming rude or like you don't appreciate the relationship that you currently have. And I think that it's easy to get some clarity in a relationship if you know where to start, and if you at least know where you are and what you believe in the relationship already. So I believe, now remember you guys, this is what I believe, that if you take the person you're dating, or not really sure if the two of you are dating, and you take them on a sweet date or somewhere that's just not crowded and stressful, and there's a lot of people, you know, around, and you kindly ask them, where do we stand with each other? That is a very, very nice way to ask. I think that instead of, you know, what you might be saying, this is a much more personal question, and they'll answer probably with how they feel in the relationship. They won't feel pressured to answer for you, which might happen if you ask, you know, where is this relationship going, or where do we go from here? Those questions spark some stress, stating that they would have to answer for you and that they better be right. And I think that if you have an open conversation about it and you both are honest and you're not saying, you know, that the other person, you know, you're not saying what the other person wants to hear. I mean, come on, you guys, we aren't mind readers. So you just have to say what you believe is true. The conversation will go so much more smoothly. And you'll also be able to go into the situation and you have to be able to state the question more clearly. So don't be vague and incomplete with your question. Make sure that you're stating the question in a way where you will get an answer, and make it seem like it's important to you. But this does lead me to say that you should not demand an answer. Leave them with some space. And if they aren't sure or they're getting flustered, then you might not get an answer that you're looking for. It might not be the answer that you like. So if you can take the pressure off and have some other conversation topics, I think that that would make you feel better, and it would also make them feel better instead of them being extremely pressured to answer right away or whatever it might be, I think that it is important to be able to talk about that, but not have a lot of pressure on the conversation. So also, if you don't get the answer that you wanted, please don't freak out. Like, don't panic or go into hyper shock and act like a completely different person. The other person might just not be able to give you the answer of true love and passion that you were hoping for, but it does. Don't take that as a complete rejection. That just means that it wasn't quite what you were expecting, and you need to think about it too. I mean, be prepared to discuss their answer, even if it's going to hurt you. I know that if you get a negative answer saying, well, I'm not really sure if I want to continue with this relationship, it's important to talk about it and see what they were feeling and why they're feeling that way. And it'll be helpful for both of you in the long run. And just keep in mind that some people might need more time to answer. And if they feel like they need more time to answer, then don't freak out by asking them over text right after the date or calling them later that night saying, well, what do you think now? Or asking for an update on them. And, you know, asking them over and over could initiate a response that you really, really don't want. And the constant need to know and ask for constant updates really stresses people out. And I think that it's harder for them if they're constantly, you know, asked what was going on. I think it's harder for them to think clearly. And I would give them some time. And I don't think that asking for constant updates on their thoughts is a good plan. I think that if you can resist the urge to do that, then it's going to be so much better for both of you in the long run. And in all of this, I think that it's vitally important to be sensitive. And I think that there are many times when there are outside forces acting on a relationship that could stress the people in the relationship. And knowing about these outside forces or outside circumstances could make it a lot easier to move forward. So, you know, if someone's parents are getting a divorce or a friend is moving away or, you know, a grandparent just passed away, I don't think that that would be a good time to bring up a conversation about your relationship with them. It's a much better time for you to take the opportunity and demonstrate how much you care and that you really need to, you know, you want to take this to the next level. And I think that that's a really, really great way to be able to show you're the person you want to be in a relationship with, just to show them how much you care. And some people take this as, oh, you're acting so differently, I need to see what's going on. So make sure that you are really sensitive to their feelings and the outside circumstances, and you do take time for them to answer if that's what they need to do. And something that I have seen time and time again in relationships is when people feel the need to define a relationship when they're still trying to figure it out themselves. So make sure you first want to know what the relationship is, and make sure that you feel like you've been given, that you give time to adjust, and that this is what you really want. And if you give that time to adjust, which I have mentioned many times, I think that's very, very important in a relationship. Make sure that you have that conversation and you know what you want. And let's be real, nobody looks forward to this talk. It's scary, and the potential that something that you don't want will come out of the relationship is high. I mean, you're basically asking for it. And I think that you need to consider everything in the relationship first, like how often you see each other. And the more often that you see each other, the sooner that you're going to want to define it. And if you're more, you know, casually sleeping together on a semi-weekly basis, then it might not be appropriate to bring up the what is our relationship conversation so quickly. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know. It's hard being in a relationship. And I think that if you want to know what's going on, you need to get some clarity, then you should ask for it. And if you guys have any testimonials or stories about having that talk with someone that you wanted to share, I would love to talk about it here on Penguin Radio on my show, The Hookup. So while I'm waiting for some of those texts from you guys, I will share some stories from some of my listeners that I got throughout the week on complicated relationships. So 510 says that she's currently dating her boyfriend who moved in with her, and he is 15 years older than her, and they just moved in together, and this is the first time either of them have moved in with someone. So she wanted to share that moving in with someone is a big step and that she's learning a lot from the experience. And I totally think that moving in with someone is a big jump, and that it can create a lot of problems if that's, you know, not what you're expecting. I know that my boyfriend and I have spent quite a lot of nights together, and the difference in our relationship really started after he would stay with me on a, you know, a nightly basis. And I believe that you really need to be with someone at any time during the day to really know who they are. And I would heed warning to people who, you know, want to move in together too soon. It does show true colors of someone, and sometimes you don't want to see that too early on. And especially you don't want to see that if you're moving in with someone and that's the first time you see their true colors. So definitely watch out for that. Another listener from 415 told me about her boyfriend and her moving in together, kind of. They never really talked about moving in together, and this is very interesting, and I think that it's a hard transition for a lot of people, especially if you stay with them every night and then all of a sudden your stuff's in their closet and your cat's coming over to spend the night and you actually never talked about if you're moving in together, and all of a sudden you're there every night and you realize that you are moving in together. So she also states that she wants to have the talk about moving in together but doesn't know how. So if you're listening, we did just talk about how to approach a conversation like that, and I know it would be a little bit different context, but you can basically follow the same rules. So I have a couple texts from you guys that I am getting here. And one of those from 415 states that, she says, "My current boyfriend is very extroverted and I'm introverted. And that makes the communication really hard, just because we're on such opposite ends of the spectrum." So I think that, you know, that's hard. That's really difficult for people to deal with, is having someone, that you want to share your life with. And you're just in a different type of, you know, mindset. You know, it's hard to communicate, and it is hard to be able to express your feelings, especially if you're the introverted one. And the extroverted one has a totally different way of thinking. So I definitely commend you for being in that relationship. And I don't know how long you've been in the relationship, but I think that it is important for people, especially in college age, to be able to share that with one another. So that's something that is an issue that I actually haven't heard of being an issue, but I do see how that could be something that is really hard to deal with. So if you have any updates about that in some future shows, I would love to hear about it for my listener in 415. So I have another text here stating that this person says that she tried to date her best friend in high school, and it was long distance, and he didn't really give her any attention, and it ended up really hurting her in the long run and making her feel small, and things that are in normal relationships are her being overly needy. So she says, make sure that you get what you need out of your relationship. So that is super complicated. That goes back to that, you know, long distance relationships and what can hurt a long distance relationship. And I think that's doing that is hard. I mean, it if you feel small in a relationship, then that's definitely going to scar you for, you know, later relationships. So, you know, watch out for that. If you're in a long distance relationship, you know, as she says, make sure you get out of the relationship what you need. I have another text here from 415. And she says, before I had a chance to have the talk, mail started coming to my house with my boyfriend's name on it. I guess we were more serious than I knew. So, yeah, I mean, if mail's coming to the house, that does mean that the two of you are, you know, in a much more serious relationship. And it is a little difficult. I know that I've run into a couple obstacles where all of a sudden all of my things are my boyfriend's things. And I think that it's hard, you know, to be able to have that conversation with you know, without making them feel like they're hurt or, you know, something. So trying to have that talk is something that I think is really vital in a relationship. I have one more text here saying, my boyfriend initially told me he wanted me to ask him in a relationship in a cute way, then later told me he wasn't even sure if he wanted to be in a relationship, even though we were exclusive and had very strong feelings. She says, I gave him the space he asked for, and then he ended up asking me to be in a relationship on a sunset picnic. So that, I think, is a testimony to, you know, how successful relationships can be. And having those conversations and, you know, being able to talk about it, I think that that can make the relationship. And, you know, conversations and communicating in a relationship is really, really important. And I think that if you're able to have those conversations, then you're going to have a much more successful relationship. And hopefully it's going to, you know, be a long one as well. And I got a picture here from someone from 415. And it is a definition for a phrase that I've never heard. And it says situationships. And the definition is, let's just chill, have sex, and be confused on the fact that we are not together, but have official emotions for each other. So I think that's a really good way to end the show today. I think that, you know, most relationships, they have complications and they are situations. And if you can't have the talk, then it's going to be harder in the long run. So thank you for listening to my show today here on Penguin Radio. Make sure you stay tuned. We have another DJ coming up, DJ Runaway, with her show Keeping It Fit. And remember to tune in every Tuesday at 1 for my show The Hookup, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.